سورة الأعراف, سورة الأعراف 172, آية 172-173, آية 172 and 173. For those of you who would like to follow, it's in on page 173, page 173, آية number 172 and آية 173. And apparently today is the first day of the month of Rajab. Rajab al-Asab. Al-Asab means pouring the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His forgiveness and His blessings pour down on His servants, on those who are seeking forgiveness and seeking repentance. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, شهر رجب شهر الاستغفار لأمتي فأكثروا فيه من الاستغفار. This is the month, an occasion of repentance. So as much as you can, as much as you can, seek repentance. پیغمبر اکرم می فرمایند این ماه ماه توبته, ماه برگشتن به خداست, ماه استغفار. هر چقدر که بتونید استغفار کنید. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, this is the way you say, this is the way you do استغفار. استغفر الله واسأله التوبة. استغفر الله, هر وقت که خواستید استغفار کنید این جمله رو بگید, استغفر الله واسأله التوبة. I seek forgiveness from God and I ask Him repentance. وَأَسْأَلُهُ التَّوْبَةِ. And tonight we have this special salat. If you can afford, either here in the masjid after the program or when you go home before you go to bed, the salat that has 12 units. 12 units. And it is 6 salat, just like the morning prayers. Each salat has 2 units, so it has 6 salat, 12 units, each salat with 2 rak'ah, like the morning prayers. In that salat after Suratul Hamd, in each rak'ah after Suratul Hamd, recite one time Alhamd, after Alhamd one time Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr, and after that 3 times Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr, and 12 times Qul huwallahu ahad. 12 times Qul huwallahu ahad. And there is some dua after the prayers. You can find it in Mafatih al-Jinan, in the books of dua. There is sujood, special sujood and special dua. And then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala your needs. Inshallah your needs are going to be granted. And the first need that we all have is Allah, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us our sins. یه نماز مخصوصی هم هست, نماز امشب, نماز شب رقائب, یکی از بزرگترین شبها در طول سال این شب, شب رقائب, اولین پنجشنبه شب در ماه رجب. نماز خاصی هست که نوشتن در مفاتیح این نماز شاید مثلا 40 دقیقه, 30 دقیقه, 40 دقیقه وقتتون میگیره, 12 رکعت داره و یه دعای خاصی هم بعد از نماز هست و بعدن هم از خداوند بطلبید, حاجاتتون را بطلبید که انشاءالله برآورده خواهد شد. صلو علی محمد و آل محمد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم, الحمد لله رب العالمین, والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَى أَنفُسِهِمْ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قالوا بلى شهدنا أن تقولوا يوم القيامة إنا كنا عن هذا غافلين أو تقولوا إنما أشرك آباؤنا من قبل وكنا ذرية من بعدهم أفتهلكنا بما فعل المبطلون وكذلك نفصل الآيات ولعلهم يرجعون صدق الله العلي العظيم.
This ayah in Surah Al-A'raf, this particular ayah, has a title, has a name. The name of this ayah is Ayatul Mithaq, and Mithaq means covenant, a contract or covenant. Because all the humanity, the entire humanity from the beginning to the end, they made a covenant with God. They signed a contract with God before their birth. Some narrators, they say, before we were born, before we came into existence, when we were in the spiritual abode, alam al-dhar, spiritual abode, not the physical, the spiritual, we made a covenant with the Lord that we would affirm and confess and acknowledge and accept His Lordship, His monotheism, His Tawheed. We would endorse it, we would accept it, we will embrace it, and we will follow it. We made this covenant before we came into existence. Many people ask this question. How did I become a religious person? When was it? What date was it? When did I become a believer? What date? What year? When was that? I need to know exactly. When did that change happened in me, took place? Was it before I was born? After I was born, 10 years into my birth, 20 years into my birth, 30 years into my birth, when was it? This book and this ayah, ayah 172 in Surah Al-A'raf, tells us that the journey of faith for all of us, the journey started before our birth, before we came into physical existence. We believe, in Islam, we believe that the souls, the human souls, were created before their bodies. A long time. Your soul and my soul, your spirit and my spirit and the spirit of everyone else was shaped and created many years before our physical existence. And then after we were in the process of being made in our mother's wombs, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blew into us that spirit which was created earlier. وَنَفَقْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِ. So the spirit existed. Now some people say 2,000 years, and the number 2,000, it could be a metaphor. It's not a real number. 2,000 years, maybe more than that. When we lived at that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a covenant with us. وَإِذْ أَخَذْ Look at the Quran. وَإِذْ أَخَذْ When your Lord, وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمْ When your Lord drew forth from the children of Adam, مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ From their loins, مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ Their descendants, and made them testify concerning themselves. وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ Allah made a covenant. Allah gave us a proposal before we came into this world here, before we were born. He made a proposal to us, and we accepted that proposal from Him. What did He say? What was the proposal? أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ Am I not your Lord? أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ Am I not your Lord who sustains you and cherishes you and creates you and feeds you and guides you and takes care of you? Am I not that Lord? The answer, what was the answer? قَالُوا بَلَى شَهِدْنَا They said, yeah, we do testify, we do affirm. We do accept. Yes, you are our Lord. قَالُوا بَلَى شَهِدْنَا Then why did He do this to us? What was the reason that He would make this covenant with us? The reason is also mentioned in the same verse. The reason, أَن تَقُولُوا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ That in case on the Day of Judgment, you argue with God and you tell Him, God, you didn't teach me. You didn't teach me. I didn't know. I didn't hear about you. Nobody told me about you. God says, wait a minute. Even before you came into this life, I taught you and I told you and you accepted that, you affirmed that, you confirmed, you confessed. You accepted me as being your Lord. Even before you came into this life, the lower life, the world of existence. You accepted my proposal. أَن تَقُولُوا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ So nobody would raise this argument before God and tell Him, Oh God, listen, I really didn't know. Nobody told me. There is no such excuse. أَن تَقُولُوا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّا كُنَّا عَنْ هَذَا غَافِلِينَ We were mindful. We were unaware. غافلين. Nobody told us. From day one, the first thing we were taught, monotheism. The existence of God, the recognition of God, ma'rifatullah, the unity of God, monotheism, tawheedullah. He introduced Himself to us, and He did not impose Himself on us. He says, would you accept me to be your Lord? Are you okay with that? We said yes. قَالُوا بَلَى شَهِدْنَا We all said yes. Now, how did that happen? There are two theories and two stories here. One story says that when we are born monotheist, muwahideen, worshippers and servants of God. Because we accept. We have accepted Him. And then, when we are born, the Quran says, فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا Every single person comes into this world, he comes as a worshipper, as a muwahid, monotheist. Every single person. Now, if this is true, every single person comes into this, is born, he is muwahid, then why we see millions and sometimes billions of people who reject God? They don't accept Him. They don't know Him. The hadith says, the environment changes you. The surrounding, the family, the community, the friends, the school, the society, they change you. Otherwise, if they leave you alone, with no influence, with no bad influence, any person born anywhere on earth is going to recognize God and worship God. By his natural instinct, if we are left alone without any negative influence, each and every person which comes into this life is going to worship God and accept God. The reason why many do not accept him, do not recognize him, do not know him, is because of the influence of the surroundings. Either the family, or the school, the teachers, or the friends, or the media, or the society at large, they change him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam says, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammadin. كل مولود يولد على الفطرة. Every single newborn is born according to his natural instinct, الفطرة. And his فطرة is Islam. Is to accept God. To accept monotheism. Not to rebel against God. كل مولود يولد فأبواه. It is for his own parents that they change his direction. فَأَبَوَاهُ إِمَّا يُحَوِّدَانِهِ أَوْ يُنَصِّرَانِهِ أَوْ يُمَجِّسَانِهِ. It's up to his parents, the influence of his own parents. Either they make him a Jew or a Christian, or يُمَجِّسَانِهِ Magian. يعني زرادشتي. Magian. Zoroastrian. So this is the influence of the parents. What they teach you. From day one, they start teaching you certain things and we learn. And we learn. We are the products of our parents. And I always say that. I always say, a Jew is a Jew because of his parents. A Christian is a Christian because of his parents. And you are a Muslim because of your parents. Most of us. Not because we researched and we studied and we compared and we made a comparison between this. No. We take it at face value from our parents. We don't go and research. Nobody of us. We take religion for granted. That's it. I am born into this family. I follow the tradition of my parents. Very few. Very few. Not even 1%. Not even 0.5%. Of people who say, listen, I have to go and study. I have to go and research. It would not suffice me to follow my parents. I have to discover my own tradition. I have to compare and study deep to see whether this way is the way or not. Very few. Very, very few. Even the Sunnis and the Shias. Why the Sunnis are Sunnis? Because they are born into a Sunni family. Why the Shias are Shias? With all due respect to all of you, my friends. And my dear brothers and sisters. Because you were born in a Shia family. Had we been born, in a Hindu family, today this was a Hindu temple. It would have been a Hindu temple. Very few. Very, very few people who say, no, I have to go and search. I have to do my homework. I have to find God myself. Yes, maybe my parents, may God bless them, they brought me to the way, but that is not enough. To continue on the way, you don't need your parents anymore. You need yourself. They bring you to the way. They introduce you. But after that, it is my call. To examine, to see whether this is the right way or the wrong way. Very few people. Very few people. This is the argument of all the followers of the prophets. When they argued with their leaders, with their messengers, they would tell them, "Inna wajadna aba'ana ala ummatin wa inna ala atharihim muhtadun." Leave me alone. O Nuh, O Ibrahim, O Musa, O Isa. Leave me alone. I'm following the tradition of my parents and I'm happy with that. Don't try to change me. Don't convert me. I'm happy with that. So, we are born believers and Muslims. But the society, parents, the home, change us into something else. They take us into another direction. Sometimes at the age of 1, sometimes at the age of 10, sometimes at the age of 30, sometimes at the age of 60. People succumb to the pressure of the society, the surroundings, and then they change course. Even when it comes with someone who's religious and someone who's non-religious, someone who's a practicing Muslim and someone who's a non-practicing Muslim, when you look, examine it closely, it's because of his mother first, because of his father first. They are the first teachers, trainers, nurturers, the parents. This is why, my friends, our children are amana, trust, entrusted to us by God. We should not lose this trust. We should not lose this trust. It's a big responsibility. It's a big responsibility. Fatherhood, motherhood does not mean that I produce and then I leave them. God will take care of them. God will take care of them, but I have a responsibility of teaching them, feeding them, talking to them, guiding them, encouraging them. It's my responsibility. So this is one theory. Allah made this covenant. It's a natural covenant. When we come, it's a built-in covenant. Built-in covenant. We come into this world, we recognize God. This is one theory. The second theory says that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam and Eve, with him, after the creation of Adam, Allah was also able to create us. But we were tiny little particles, alam al-dharr. Some of the theologians, philosophers, exegetists, they believe we were tiny little particles. Dharr, al-dharr in Arabic means the tiny little things, small things. This is alam al-dharr. He created all the descendants of Adam at that time. He created them. And he addressed them. He talked to them. The entire generation who comes of Adam. Since the creation of Adam till the day of judgment. We stood before him and he asked us this question. Alastu bi rabbikum? Am I not your Lord? Do you accept me? قَالُوا بَلَى. We all said yes. Now, how does that work? How does that work? You are born now. You are born in 1965, 1975, 1985, 2005. How is it possible that God addresses you 10,000 years ago? How is that possible? Philosophers say that for us, we the human being, we have past, present, and a future. For us, history and life is divided into three main sections. One is the past. The second is the present now. And the third one is the future. But with God, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no past, present, and future. It's all one piece. It's all one piece. For us, it is the three pieces. It has been dissected into three pieces. But when it comes to the whole universe, when God looks at them, he's not looking now at people now, currently, now, year 2014, May 1st, 2014, he only looking at the picture of people now. God can look at the picture of those thousands of years before and thousands of years after. For him, there is no limitation. Do you follow me on this or not? Let me give you an example, maybe not very correct, but it makes the idea, you know, presentable. It brings the idea to your mind. Now, at this level, when you stand, what do you see now? Go to the street, what do you see? How far you can see? How far? Few what? Miles. Few miles? Maybe few miles. If you can see the mountain, maybe few miles. But if you fly at the altitude of 2,000 feet, what would you see? And if you fly at the altitude of 10,000 feet? You can see the city of Irvine. Now you don't see the city. You see only two streets. But 10,000 feet, you can see the city of Irvine. At 30,000 feet, you can see the entire Southern California. I have pictures on my iPhone. I flew over Southern California. The entire region, you can see it. The entire, from Palm Springs till Santa Barbara, you can see it. And you can take picture of that. So the higher you go, the bigger you can see. Allah is higher. Not physically higher, spiritually higher. Allah is not confined to a space, is not limited. So He can see everything, the entire universe. For us, we see what is in front of me. I cannot now see what is here in the back, unless I turn my face. But for God, it's a different story. He can see everything. The entire universe, not only at this time, at all times, from the beginning, where it has no beginning, to the end, where it has no end. This is the case with God. We see only one section. It's like a movie, 3 hours movie. We see 10 minutes of it. Allah sees the whole movie, from the beginning to the end. This is why the Quran says, إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Allah does not take time to think and to study and to try and to go through certain process or stages. كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. He creates the entire universe with one word and less than one word. Less than 1 second. And this is how we're going to stand before Him on the Day of Judgment. Some people say, where do we stand? Which convention center? Which arena? Billions of people, you bring them together. Where? What land? With God, it's different. And we all can see Him, and we all can talk to Him, and He responds to each and everyone. When we speak to one person, we cannot respond to the second one. We have to focus on one person. Can you speak to two people at the same time? I do sometimes here. When I finish, I greet people, you know, men and women, they come. So, salam, salam, salam. Sometimes I can do that. I fail, of course. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nobody take Him away from others. At the same time that He's listening and paying attention to you and He knows what goes in your heart, He's paying attention to billions and billions of people, not only now, those who were before us and those who are going to come after us. So this is how He made this covenant. Some of the ulama, they gave a beautiful example. They say if an ant walks on this carpet, this, look at the carpet here. You can see the carpet now. You can see the whole carpet. 3x4 maybe, yes? Yeah? 3x4? Farsh Furush ki has inja. Yeah. Meter. So you can see it now. You can see the whole carpet. But if an ant walks now on this carpet, what does it see? Can she see the whole carpet? She's lost. She thinks that the whole carpet is the earth. She sees only a small part of it because it's small little. This is the difference between us and Allah. We see small part, Allah sees everything. It's different with Him. So yes, on that day when He created Adam, He was able to see all the generations who would come off Adam. the descendants of Adam. So he made the covenant with them at that time. At that time. Allah is not limited. Allah is not limited to certain time and certain space. He's not limited. So he sees all at once. At once. He can see the entire generation. He can see everything at once. He can see us before our own physical creation and after we die. He can see the whole journey. We see just part of it. وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ. This ayah is called Ayatul Mithaq. The ayah of covenant. We made covenant with him. أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ. Am I not your Lord? قَالُوا بَلَىٰ شَهِدْنَا. They said, they means us, we. We said, yes, we do testify. أَن تَقُولُوا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِن كُنَّا عَنْ هَذَا غَافِلِينَ. I am warning you. You don't come on the day of judgment and tell me, God, nobody said anything to me. I was absent. I didn't hear you. Allah says, no, you were fully awake and aware. And you did listen to me. And you did respond to me. But then you changed. Of course you changed. أَوْ تَقُولُوا إِنَّمَا أَشْرَكَ آبَاؤُنَا مِنْ قَبْلِ. Or maybe some of you would come to me and say, our parents, our fathers, they have taken false gods, false deities. أَشْرَكَ آبَاؤُنَا مِنْ قَبْلِ وَكُنَّا ذُرِّيَّةً مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ. We are their descendants and we were helpless. We could not change ourselves. We could not change our direction. أَفَتُحْلِكُنَا بِمَا فَعَلَ الْمُبْطِلُونَ وَكَذَلِكَ نُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ. Thus, do we explain our signs? وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. We explain our signs in details to the people. So, perchance, they may turn into us. We change because the circumstances has changed. We change. Even some people, maybe in the beginning of their life, they were very religious. Some people, today they are religious, tomorrow they're going to face a situation, a test, they lose their faith. They lose their faith. Many things, they make us lose our faith. One of them is richness. Richness. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى أَنْ رَآهُ اسْتَغْنَى. When we become rich, you have seen in your life, there were many people who led a very religious life, a modest life, a moral life, but all of a sudden, he made some money, all of a sudden, became rich. Or he became influential. He changed his manners. His faith, his religion has changed. Don't take religion for granted. Don't say, since I am born in a Muslim family, my father was this, my mother was that, and I am coming to the mosque. Every day is a day of test. Every day is a day of challenge. You would never know what will happen tomorrow. There were people who were very religious, committed to religion. They switched 180 degrees. They turned away from religion. And there were people who were wicked, terribly wicked, immoral, corrupt. They were changed within a few hours. Al-Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam. Al-Imam Al-Kadhim, our seventh Imam. By the way, today is the day of the birth, the anniversary of our fifth Imam, Al-Imam Muhammad Al-Baqir alayhi salatu wassalam. I conclude with this story. Imam Al-Kadhim, you know, he was in Baghdad for a period of time. He was in Medina, then he was summoned to Iraq, in Basra, in Baghdad, until he died in the prison of the Abbasid Caliph in Baghdad. He was for 11 years, he was in the prison, 11 years altogether. So he spent the last 11 years of his life in the prison, until he died. One day in Baghdad, Baghdad was the seat of the Abbasid Khilafah. The Caliph was there. The capital of Islam at one time. So he passed by a palace. The palace overlooks the Tigris River, Dijla. In Iraq, we have two rivers, Furat, Dijla and Furat, the Tigris and the Euphrates. There was a huge mansion that overlooked the river. Imam passed by himself alone. So he heard music, loud music and partying, crazy partying, dancing. When the Imam was passing, one of the maids, the servants who work there, she came out to throw the trash. So the Imam said to her, "Who owns this mansion? Is he a free person or a slave?" Listen, is he a free person or a slave? أَهْوَ حُرٌّ أَمْ عَبْدٌ. This is a metaphor. This is a metaphor. But she didn't get him. She did not get the Imam. She said, "Of course he's free. Can a slave own this mansion? Do you think a slave can own this mansion? Of course he's a free person." Imam said, "Yes, you are right. لو كان عبدا لأطاع مولاه." Had he been a slave, he would have obeyed his Lord. لو كان عبدا لأطاع مولاه. And then he left. Imam left, خلاص. He said only this sentence and he passed by. This lady, when she heard it, she was intelligent. She knew that this sentence is meaningful. And this man is a special man. She didn't recognize him, but she knew this man is a special man. So she rushed to her master, Bishr, the owner of that mansion, was one of the people who worked for the government at that time, for the caliph. He was in the middle of the party and dancing and drinking, and you know, thousand nights and night, these things happened in Baghdad. Alf Layla wa Layla. So she came to him, she said, "My master, I have something urgent to tell you." He said, "Leave me alone, I'm enjoying this party." She said, "But this is really urgent." He said to her, "What is it?" She said, "Now I went out to throw the trash. A man passed by and he asked me about you. Who owns this mansion? Whether he's free person or a slave?" I said, "Of course he's a free. He's not a slave." He said, "Indeed. Had he been slave, he would have obeyed his master." Imagine when Allah wants someone to change. It doesn't take a week or a month or a year. He can change instantly. Maybe this man did something good in his life. We don't know. He said, "Say that again. Say it again." What did he say? She said, he only said, "Had he been a slave, he would have obeyed his Lord." And he left. Imam said, the bishop, he said to her, "Which direction he left?" She said, "In that direction." He left the party barefoot and he came downstairs running, going into the direction of the Imam. He captured the Imam. He recognized the Imam. He have seen him before, of course. Definitely. But with this sentence shook him this time. You know, sometimes we receive advice, we receive nasiha, maw'idha, admonishment, but it doesn't work. But at certain times it works. This is why the hadith says, do not give up on your brother, your son, your neighbor. Keep telling them. Maybe the first day it doesn't work, this month it does not work, next month. Maybe this year it does not work, next year it works. He said to him, "Yabna Rasulullah, I'm so sorry. I don't want this mansion. What you said, it is right. Had I been a good slave to my master, I would have obeyed him. I am living in sin, and I don't need this mansion anymore. Just teach me how to go back to Allah. Just tell me. This is a turning point in my life." And it was indeed a turning point. He never went back to his mansion. Imagine the party is going on and the dancing, and the host is not there. The host is not there. He refused to go back. And he came barefoot, so his name became later on, they gave him this nickname, Bishr al-Hafi. Bishr al-Hafi. Bishr, who is barefoot. He did not wear his shoes. And he never went back to that mansion. True story. This is a true story. Can we do that? If someone says to me, Mustafa, this iPhone is not yours, can I immediately say, okay, then take it, give it to fuqara. Mustafa, this money in your pocket is not yours, huh? Can I give up on that and say, no, of course, I'm not going to touch it again. This house is not yours, does not belong to you. Can we do that? It depends. It depends on Allah. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if Allah, and this night, Laylatul Raghaib is one of the nights that he might give you a glance, just a glance, quick look at you. He might. It all depends on our sincerity, ikhlas. If we have ikhlas here, and if this word comes from the bottom of my heart, I say, oh Allah, save me, guide me, hold my hand. If it really comes, then I would receive his blessing and his mercy. Allahumma aghfir lil mu'minin wal mu'minat wal muslimin wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat tabi' allahumma baynana wa baynahum bil khayrat innaka mujibud da'awat innaka ghafirul khati'at. Let's recite amman yujibul muftar for those who are sick and those who are waiting, especially this layla, the first Thursday night in the month of Rajab, Laylatul Raghaib, a night of repentance, a night of istijabatul dua, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would respond to our needs. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Amman yujibul muzdarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu as-su'. Amman yujibul muzdarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu as-su'. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء يا الله اللهم فرج عنا وعن جميع المؤمنين اللهم من على مرضانا بالشفاء والعافية المرضى المنظورين اللهم البسهم ثوب الصحة والعافية يا أرحم الراحمين. Tomorrow at 1 p.m. we have Salatul Jumu'ah, and at 8 p.m. we have a special session for the youth. We ask you to come and participate. It's an open dialogue and open discussion on the future of the youth here in our community. So if your brothers, your children are there, please encourage them to come. وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات وإلى روح المرحومة برای شادی روح مرحومة حاجی خانم احترام السادات نجات هاشمی الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.